afternoon. I think for those on the West Coast.
So, Michael, I have the roll call list.
Oh, great.
I heard Sandra and you.
I'm here.
Is anyone else on? Still a few minutes early.
Yeah, we'll give it a little time.
Dr. Charnas, it's a little hard for me to hear you.
You know, maybe I have to speak
That fixed it. Whatever you did fixed it.
I have a very directional phone, and as soon as I move away from it, it cuts out. So I just moved it closer to me.
Perfect.
Great.
John's here.
Hi, Dr. Hannigan.
Hi, Jill.
Yeah,
this is John.
Yes.
Ken Jones is here.
Hi, Dr. Jones.
Hi, Jill. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm loving
great.
This crisp, fallish morning.
Yeah, it is that.
I like it.
I do, too.
Where are you, Wisconsin?
No, sitting here in sunny San Diego with a little bit of football weather.
So how do you define crisp in San Diego?
75.
You have to put on a sweater.
It's always 75, and it's crisp in the fall.
Oh, I see. So just the definition changes, but not the temperature.
Correct.
Right. Yes.
You have to do that when the weather doesn't change. Except in June.
You know, spending my formative years in Wisconsin and then coming to San Diego, I never thought I'd make it through my whole wardrobe. It's amazing how you can adapt it to 10 degrees difference and still get wear out of everything. I wear wool sweaters.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Jill. I've got a tweed coat on today.
I would say that would go without saying, Ken.
Right.
Is that year-round?
with patched elbows, right?
No, I don't have them anymore. when this gets a couple years older, I'll put them on.
And a bow tie.
No, I don't wear a bow tie ever.
What's the matter with you?
I understand.
All right, should we go ahead and do roll, Jen? Ed's not going to be on the call today. He's at the UFAS meeting, as is Joanne, and then a few others aren't on the call this morning.
So I have Michael, Ken, Sandra, and John.
Who? I'm here.
I'm sorry, who was...
Hi,
Jen.
This is Leah.
Hi, Leah. Anyone else?
This is Callum.
Okay.
Hi, this is Masaki.
Okay.
And this is Christy.
All right.
Hello.
And Scott.
Hi, Claire. Hi, Claire.
Hi.
Thought you might be in Europe.
I just got back.
Oh, okay. Is Johan on? Allison? Mike? Sarah Jo? Dan? Do we have Bill or Dale on?
seems like a quiet week in Lake Wobegon.
Mm-hmm.
Let me blast a quick email that the call's in progress.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we need to have Billerdale officially, but...
This is Bill Barnett.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, it's Tom at NOVAC.
Hi, Tom. So, Michael, do we need to have Bill or Dale on?
You know, it's preferable, but why don't we get started and hope that they join us?
Okay.
So, thank you all for being on. And as Jill said, Ed is in Europe. So, we're going to go through the call, and we want to start with a lot of symposia. And I heard Scott on, and Scott, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about how the ISPRA CFAS symposium went and what was new at ISPRA.
I think it went well. I think that we, knowing that we were going to do something similar in Vancouver, Johan and I agreed to concentrate our findings more on the mTOR stuff and that pathway and how it relates to the genetics of FAS. And then I think we both have and will continue to collect new information regarding cilia, and we'll focus on that for Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't quite ready to go yet, because Johan is still working on some confirmations in the fish, whereas we have it in the mice with the mTOR stuff.
Right.
And we had also decided to do that because it fit in with what you were supposed to talk about.
I did talk about it, but I was in Boston.
We couldn't hear you. But I think the meeting went really well. It was fairly well attended. Half of the people were probably CFAS, but still, it went well. And like I said, we intentionally designed it to go so that in Vancouver next year we can talk about genetics, but we can come at it from a different angle. Just for those who will go to both meetings, won't be bored with us.
Right. And you made it despite the typhoon on the front end and the hurricane on the back end?
I did. I made it through both the typhoon and the hurricanes, just barely missing both of them. Or being able to get in here in a lull in the weather.
And things were okay after the lull?
Yes. Because the day after we got in, we got about 8 inches or so, which was better than most places south of us, which the only worst damage that we had was it demonstrated that we need to fix a couple places on the roof.
All right. And was outside of the CFAS symposium, was there anything exciting related to FASP?
Jeff's session was really good, was really well attended, and Fernando Valenzuela had a session on mechanisms. It was also really good. It was It was a lot of neuroimmune mechanisms, but it was still pretty good.
Great.
This is Jennifer, and I think that, you know, compared to in the past, there was a lot more FASD research it is for this year, and it all was pretty well attended. So.
Well, that's good to hear. I don't know if anyone else is having a problem. I can't connect to the WebEx. I'm getting messages that it's not a secure site. That may be my government firewall.
It appears most people were able to get on okay.
All right. That may be my new Office 365 configuration or something. All right. We circulated the summary, just a title and clear summary for the half day in Vancouver. And I think you all have it and can look it over. It's going to be divided in three. The exact allocation of time isn't yet final, but it'll be in the range of 20-minute talks, 15 to 20-minute talks, something like that. It's always important for the Vancouver presentations to diversity of the audience. There are going to be individuals with FASD, members of their families. There are going to be teachers, judges, social workers, and so on. There'll be more scientists at this meeting and more clinicians than at the every other year adolescents and adults meeting. In one of the planning meetings, one of the requests that came up is to remind people of sensitivities, one of them being that we don't speak about abnormal brains. We speak about brains with specific abnormalities. The difference eluded me at first, but I think the point is that if you talk in front of people who have the disorder about abnormal brains, their whole brain is abnormal, and I think there's a desire to emphasize all that works well and to note the things that are abnormal rather than to label the whole brain. So as people prepare their presentations, especially to people who show pictures of brains, be mindful of the sensitivities of people who are in the audience. That meeting, I think, is shaping up pretty well, and there'll be more information about it in the next month or two. We are planning to have the CFAS face-to-face meeting on the 5th of March, 2019, which is Tuesday prior to the start of the Vancouver meeting.
We are hoping to, yes. Don't book your ticket based on it yet, but it's looking very hopeful.
Okay. So, Jill, you'll let us know when that's definite, so...
Yes. I'm in contact with Christina and the group that plans the meeting to see about meeting space and hotel rooms right now, if we can just join on to that. And
yeah.
So I'll provide details as soon as I have them.
Good. Good.
Another idea that came up this week was... possibly also meeting in Minneapolis like we met in San Diego this year. And that was going to be something to discuss on this call, whether or not people think that's a good idea.
Sure. As long as you can get a funky room like the last time.
I'll try and make sure I can get pedicabs.
Still on the theme of symposia, we should be thinking about Minneapolis. And we should have a CFAS symposium there. And if you have ideas of themes and presentations, maybe we can take a few minutes now and flesh some of that out. Or separately, if you have something that you think would work well with other things that could be presented there, then you can send it to me. We have been doing a lot of symposia, which means that most of what we would want to put together should be based on the newer work that will have come out of CFAS by June of next year. So I'm open to ideas, and if anybody wants to raise them, let's start now and we'll continue this discussion. But are there thoughts?
Well, Michael, this is Dan. Has there been any further conversations about the prospect of having participants from other groups working with CFAS to put together a symposia for next summer?
John has taken a lead role in that, and there were two ideas that were brought forward, neither of which is exclusive of having a CFAS symposium as well. The first idea was to have a DARC, NMARC, CFAS symposium with representation of each. There was also actually three ideas, the idea of getting leadership of those three centers together. And the third idea was having some sort of social function so that all of the members, and especially some of the younger members, postdocs and students who attend RSA, can intermingle and learn about the work that's going on at others so that it might provide a path for people to move from one center to another center or to CFAS. And John, is there anything more you want to say about that?
No, I have nothing more than that. The only other thing is that the Binghamton people, Terry Deek and Linda Spear, you know, are interested in participating on one of these calls to give a brief introduction of what's going on in Binghamton to other people in CFAS. And Terry in particular was enthusiastic about pulling together a symposium with representatives from each at RSA. But nothing else further on that. Any thoughts from the others?
Yeah, this is Sandra. So I really like the idea, and as you know, I've sort of got toeholds in a couple of those groups. But I worry that it becomes kind of clicky to say that, you know, it's this group and this group, and for the people who are not part of those groups, would they see it with the way that we intend it, or would they feel excluded?
I think that's a fair thing to be cautious about. It's one of the reasons why, you know, that I thought that if a symposium was focused on a particular topic, with representatives from the centers we're talking about, it wouldn't exclude adding somebody else from outside. And it wouldn't be advertised as if it was a just a joint meeting.
Yeah, I think that sounds great.
Yeah, I think the branding would be the subject matter, be an effort to bring together people from the different centers and others, depending on what the theme would be and would best complement the work of, let's say, three representatives. One from each of the centers. And I think it's a good point, Sandra. Any ideas for a CFAS symposium or suggestions for a joint symposium? So, on the spot, maybe it's hard for these things, but start to, we'll send a little reminder out. You send ideas, teams, they can be new work that you believe will be mature by June, and that we can find a way to stitch together in one of these symposia. I want to mention planning for PCD.
Michael, your phone's cutting out a little bit again.
Yeah, it's a little bit hard to follow, Michael. Sorry.
Okay.
And I did want to mention that we do have NIAAA on the call now.
Oh, great.
Hello.
So, who's on from NIAAA?
Hi, it's Bill and Dale.
Hi, Bill and Dale. So I was just going to give a very brief mention of the BBCD planning meeting. Is that okay?
I'm not sure if it is or not, Michael.
It's early.
Yeah, there's. I think there is a notice out there that we had the meeting, but I'm not sure if any of the contents of the meeting can be really openly discussed just yet?
Okay, so I'll summarize by saying there was a meeting.
We can say what the title of the meeting was, which was Research Methodologies to Understand Long-Term Consequences of Prenatal Opioid and Other Substance Exposure on Brain and Behavioral Development.
And I'll add just one more tidbit, which is that PFAS was well represented. Is that okay? If it isn't...
Yes, I think that's fine.
All right. Anyway, PFAS was well represented, and more to come later. So we've talked about cross-center collaborations, and John, is there any more discussion that you want to add to what we've already said?
No, not at this point.
Okay. And Leah, do you want to say something about data dictionaries and how we're doing in terms of getting those set up?
Hey, it's Jill. I'll talk about what I sent out so far. So after the last monthly meeting, there was a meeting with the advisory board and Tatiana to go over the goals for CFAS4 and the central repository moving forward. And so all of you should have received an email that states by October 15th, you want to go ahead and get your data dictionaries to Leah and also let her know what kind of a database you're using. We're not asking at this time for anyone to reinvent the wheel on the database that they're having, but if you're using REDCap, let Leah know you're using REDCap. Does that make sense?
And email me if you have any questions. I'm happy to answer anyone's questions.
Or does anyone have any questions about just the central repository's role in CFAS4 at all? Excellent. That means our email was very descriptive and helpful.
Good. And, you know, the general idea was that there would be a regular forwarding of data to the central repository.
3 times a year, yep.
And there would be a way to monitor that the data sharing goals were being met as they were laid out in the specific aims.
Yeah, so beyond the October 15th deadline, there are other deadlines through the end of the year to make sure that everyone's transfer of data of their database goes smoothly to the central repository. And then the trimester dumps will start in 2019.
Good. So, Jill, do you want to say something about the progress tracking documents?
Yes, and if you could see me, imagine the most embarrassed face you can. But I don't know where the last versions went. So I just emailed PIs and am working off of those to get them up to speed, and I will not attend the next meeting unless those are up and visible for everyone to see. So I received them from about half of you. I will start getting in touch with each of you independently to make sure we've got it looking how you want it to look and that it has representative data of both the current month that we're in to show on these monthly meetings and then also the cumulative snapshot of where your data is to date since CFAS4 started.
Thank you. So, exciting new findings. This is another attempt to get people to tell us the latest and the greatest. If you have it and are willing to share it on WebEx, what are people working on or what are people starting to find that they want to share with others in the consortium?
Michael, this is Tina. You guys have already seen it, but the Gretchen's paper on exposure trajectory and outcomes that I presented at the last meeting has provisionally accepted in pediatrics. And Claire did a paper on preterm delivery as a mediating factor between prenatal alcohol exposure and neurobehavioral outcomes, and that is accepted for the special issue of birth defect research. And then I don't think Rajesh is on, but I'm thinking that this information was presented in Kyoto, but that really nice analysis that Alex Tseng did about mechanisms potentially involved with microRNAs and the placenta was submitted to JPI.
Wonderful. So as those become available, if you could send out the references.
And if you could put just write a little blurb, Tina, so we can highlight those on the web page as well, the PDF page. Okay.
Tina, are you in Switzerland?
Pardon?
Are you in Switzerland? I am.
Looking at the Alps.
It doesn't sound like you're in Switzerland.
You're not yodeling.
Come on.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
I just wanted to add, because, you know, to the extent that it, Tatiana and I went for multiple rounds, as Bill and Dale know, for the Gabriella Miller opportunity to be able to get whole genome sequencing done, and thanks to Bill's persistence and tremendous efforts, we're going to get some sample sequence from the Ukraine cohort, which is really fantastic. And so that's in process right now. And we got, I don't know if this is relevant to the rest of the group, but we got an administrative supplement to, because of the interest of co-exposure to HIV and alcohol in Ukraine, because Ukraine is one of the top countries in the world in terms of HIV infection, to be able to at least look at the feasibility of being able to identify pregnant women with either alcohol or HIV positive status or the combination of the two. So that we were there in Ukraine the last couple of weeks and starting to talk about incorporating that into the study.
Wonderful. Any others with either publications to inform us of or new data? And any other random issues that you want to raise?
This is Tina again. I have a random issue. I don't know if maybe it's more relevant to the informatics group, but we come up with and this is, you know, a chronic problem with the morphology core, that the handbook for which measurements are assigned percentile, when you get into, especially when you get into the older ages, for head circumference, these are being plotted by hand, which introduces a huge amount of potential error. And so we're talking about, and of course this is up to Ken, but talking about looking at that whole process of assigning percentiles for growth, weight, length, and head circumference, and healthy bone fissure length, and bone length, and so on, across the spectrum of ages. In CFAS, and what we have done up till now, and what our problem areas, and trying to address those.
So, what is the issue exactly?
Well, you know, for some of us, use these measurements continuously, a continual measurement as opposed to a sharp cutoff. And when you're assigning it, the example is when you're a, you know, five-year-old and you're using the growth curve for head circumference in the CFAS dysmorphology manual, you plot it on a curve where you basically are guessing what the percentile is. So if it comes you know, close to the, below the 10th centile, there's probably not a whole lot of question about whether it's below or not. So that's, I think, less of an issue, although if you use a growth curve that's, you know, been developed by somebody else, like WHO or whatever, there would be cases where you might assign it the 11th percentile, plotting it yourself by hand, and it would come up the 9th percentile using an additional growth curve. There, and as we all know, there's a whole lot of confusion about the curves for how people think their length. It's just that we've been at least internally consistent in terms of using the same growth curve up until now.
This is Claire. I would be happy to share with anybody a white paper we've done on how people fix their length, comparing the different systems that are regularly used in diagnoses. I expect all of you will be equally appalled at the results as I am, because there's absolutely no consistency among them. And you can be, and I think that this is a real issue that needs to be addressed.
So are we using a consistent system of measurement for calcifer fissure length and CFAS?
Yes.
We're using the Thomas curve,
aren't we? Yeah. I'm sorry?
I think we're using Thomas, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. We're using
it doesn't look good when you compare it to reality.
What's reality?
Well, that's the problem.
Well, you said compare it to reality. What is reality that you're comparing
it to? Other systems that are based. You need to look at this because it's just confusing and concerning.
So, do you want to share that white paper? Is that something that's ready to share?
I'll be happy to.
Maybe, Joe, you can circulate that. We'll all get a chance to look at it, and then maybe on the next call. Based on that, what would you recommend, Claire?
Well, I do have some recommendations in the white paper at the end. Number one, I think we need a new system for the whole thing, but we need to obviously select one. And stick with it, which I think we're doing, but I just think it's something we need to be aware of because it's so non-consistent.
Is this something that you plan to publish, or is this just for internal circulation?
We did it for internal because I'm not a dysmorphologist, and I feel as a psychologist that I didn't have too much authority with this.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to share it with the rest of you.
Okay, well, we look forward to seeing that. Any issues besides that others want to raise? Well, I think we're going to give you 28 minutes back on your calendar. Everybody have a great week, and we'll talk to you again in a month.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.